Suffer. Use as directed.
Welcome to the weekend.
As we move along on the Good Day Weekend program, hopefully you are here to spend a serious hour with the man who is in charge of food information here, there, and everywhere. I'm talking about Phil Lempert, who's the supermarket guru. Got more websites than you can shake a stick at, and all aimed at one thing, and that is providing you with the news, the information that you need to make intelligent decisions when you're buying food, when you're considering diet, when you're thinking about your health and well-being. This is the man. These are the sites, supermarketnews.com, philsfoodsense.org, that television show that now has been seen by tens of millions of people, Phil, on the PBS broadcast that have been airing, what, for about a month and a half now, haven't they?
Exactly. In fact, this past week, Doug, we hit over 500 airings.
Good for you. Congratulations.
So, yeah, so we're still going. And in fact, in just about another 2 weeks, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to start production on lunch and dinner.
So the first airing of Phil's Food Sense was all about breakfast and what it did. Why don't you bring us through, so those who haven't heard the story about this can understand what it is that the program purported to do.
Basically, started out at a diner in Baltimore called the Hun Diner, H-O-N, because all the waitresses call you Hun.
Hun.
Short for honey. ordered breakfast and then tracked. And by the way, they have a life-size Elvis sculpture as you walk in the door, which sort of like scared me and freaked me out, but it was fine. Hmm. So then I traced all the products, the eggs, the bacon, the bread, the coffee, the strawberries, the sugar. I'm missing something else. The potatoes, back to where it was grown. So, you know, the potatoes, they were red, russet potatoes that came from Florida. So we went there and talked about how in Florida, because of the land in Florida, everything, all the nutrients, all the water, everything else has to be brought in order to grow those potatoes properly. And just tracked everything back to the source. And we've had a fabulous reaction from people who, and Doug, you know, you as a farmer can understand this, where most people just don't understand where our food comes from. They think, oh, yeah, it comes
from the
supermarket.
Store. Yeah,
you
right, know? It comes from the store.
There's a chicken in the back laying the eggs.
It amazes me and it infuriates me, frankly, when I find out, especially young children. So I'm doing my part, not that I'm looking for any awards, but I'm opening up my dairy farm, encouraging teachers to bring students out there during milk time, milking the cows. Important for children to see where the milk comes from, tour around.
See, now, Doug, by the way, what we should do is we should videotape that.
Yeah, we ought to. You're right. Yep, you know, yep, we got to do more of that.
Because that, not only for the radio program where we're webcasting, and you can just go to DougStephan.com to see Doug in the studio, but, you know, we should be capturing that because there's just so much that we should be doing, even if we just put it on YouTube where, you know, 100 million people can see what it's like when kids go for the first time to see real animals and real food.
Yeah, it is. And then you talk about the eggs. You go to the produce, the grower up the street from me, who actually there are two of them. I live in a rural part of a very suburban town. And so people go down the street and say, my God, this is Framingham. They don't believe that there is this much land open and these kind of activities going on. But this is the locavore movement, more and more people supporting it, more and more people interested in it, more and more people demanding it. In fact, they want to see where the vegetables are grown. They want to be able to pick the raspberries. They want to be able to go see the cows. All of that stuff has been lacking from our educational system, our process. And as we get worse and worse at educating children, this is one of the this is a dire consequence of a system that has been broken for a long time and getting more broken. Frankly, we are not teaching, the parents aren't, because they aren't really connected to the farm. You know, 2% of the people in the country are connected to the farm in some way, shape, or form. And a lot of people, because of so much work, have opted out. They don't want to stay on the farm. That's why there's so much vacant farmland everywhere. I mean, there are all kinds of things that
but
are.
Also, you know, I think the one important thing is when they come to your farm, and they taste the foods that they're picking, or they taste the raw milk.
Yeah.
What explodes in their brain is what food really should taste like.
Yeah.
And if we could just put fresh food, You know, just pick raspberries, all those things that you described, mm-hmm. into people's mouths, obesity, early onset diabetes, all these things go away. The problem is that we have no idea what real food tastes like. And once people taste it, they get it. And then, you know, that whole healthier lifestyle starts. It's not about joining Weight Watchers or Nutrisystems or any of those other programs. It's tasting real food.
We're going to address that actually later on in the hour. Amy Sands will be here. From Equity for Annie's, they're all about trying to teach children the very thing that we're talking about here, encouraging children to dig veggies and things that come out of the land instead of the stuff. I told a story earlier on today about an experience that I had last night driving down the New Jersey Turnpike. I stopped to get a bite to eat at one of the roadside places. They had a half a dozen different restaurants, so I could find what I wanted in the fresh. They have what do they call it, Fresh U or something like that, or Big Fresh, one of those places. So I had a sandwich, a little teriyaki, veggies, something or other, and I'm sitting there eating it. And this woman comes up to the table across from me with her child. The woman, 5'9" maybe, weighed 300 pounds if she weighed an ounce. She's in her early 40s. Grumpy, grouchy, nasty, has got a 10, maybe 11-year-old daughter with her who is, way completely overweight. They have two big boxes of Popeye fried chicken, the biggest box they can buy, 8 pieces in there with mashed potatoes. They sit down, they're bickering with each other. The girl reaches over and takes one of the pieces out of her mother's box so that she had 9 pieces. And the mother then slaps her and says, "What are you doing taking my food?" And then another woman comes up who's just as big with a son who's just as big. And they, too, have the biggest boxes of. And the woman's complaining, "This is the most expensive fast food I've ever had in my life." And I'm thinking to myself, you people are clueless. What are you? You can't see in the mirror that you weigh 300 pounds and what it's doing to you?
Even besides that, if you and I were at this place.
Do I sound like an elitist, by the way, when I
No. You sound like a very pragmatic person. But if you and I were sitting there and we had ordered just 9 pieces for between us of this fried Popeye, we couldn't finish
it. We couldn't finish it.
There's no way that we could stomach that.
No.
And by the way, that's just part of the story. What about that, you know, New Jersey State Trooper that pulled you over for speeding?
No, he didn't do that, but thank you, Brad. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
Now, it's shocking and it's bad. And frankly, you know, when we see those people and very often, as you do, as I do, you know, you'll start up a conversation with these people. Mm-hmm. If I hear one more time from somebody with that big bucket of Popeye's chicken that they have a glandular problem, which is why they're 300 pounds.
Yeah, right.
You know, come on. I'll stick the Popeye chicken bucket on their head.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's not a glandular problem. You just eat too much, and you eat too much of the wrong food.
Yeah.
And you're not satisfied.
How can
and
you
after
be
that, they're going to go up and have a cheesecake.
Yeah, but they're happy to sit and watch. One of the things Dr. Ken Kronhaus was saying earlier, for those of you who are hearing that program, talking about how sedentary that is, sitting in front of a television set or a computer screen for hours at a time. I mean, this is common sense stuff. Of course it's bad for you. Why don't what does it take in terms of intellect to understand how and what frustrates me isn't necessarily that they're doing it to themselves. They're passing it on to their children. And we were just talking about that very thing, how children are going to learn from their environment. Why would you do that to a being that you love? How can you be that damn clueless?
Well, but also, Doug, I think a lot of it, again, comes back to the fact that they don't know what this food tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you and I made in your kitchen fried chicken.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
Fresh chicken.
Not likely that it happened, but it sounds.
No, I know. But we used olive oil.
Yeah.
And it was really good. You could have one leg, one chicken breast, and be satisfied.
Yeah.
Versus these commercial operations where you eat it, it doesn't taste like anything, which is why they need to eat 9 pieces and still be hungry.
Yeah, right. There's no fulfillment there.
No.
We're going to meet Chef Gerard Viverito. Am I pronouncing it right? Viverito?
No, you're not.
I'm not. Viverito. I've got to be pretty close.
Close.
All right.
just call him Chef Girard.
Chef Girard will join us from Passion Fish in a moment. They're promoting environmentally sound alternatives to endangered seafood species. And this comes on the heels of a conversation I had. We have lots of talk Monday through Friday and on the weekend about food on the Good Day program. We were talking this week with Chef Louis DeAngelis, who's one of the better-known cooks and bottle washers in the Southwest. The Southeast, and he was talking about how the fishermen are being told not to go out because the seafood has been depleted. And I said, well, why don't they go a couple of hundred miles further to where the oil spill was this summer? You hear all the people there saying that the fish have multiplied unbelievably.
Yep.
And so, but, you know, this is something that's important because we are diminishing our resources, and we need to talk about that. So, and that's coming up along with a food quiz, a little information. There's an interesting article in the current issue of Men's Health magazine overviewing the 15 worst health and diet myths, and one of them has to do with high fructose corn syrup. I want you to react to what they say in that article. Dr. Phil, I love calling him Dr. Phil because he is really much better than Dr. Phil. No, but there are a lot of people on the radio and television who aren't doctors either, and they say they are. So you can get away with it. It's okay. I give you sanction. Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, you heard him talking about eggs and where they come from, the incredible edible egg. One of the reasons that we're able to provide you this program is because of the support of the folks who are responsible for delivering those incredible eggs to you every day.
And fact, when pain keeps you up at night, nothing is proven to get you to sleep faster than Advil PM liquid gels. Fact, Advil PM liquid gels are the only liquid-filled capsules created just for nighttime pain. Fact, Advil PM liquid gels rush liquid fast relief to ease your pain and help you fall asleep fast. The facts say it all. When pain keeps you from getting to sleep fast, make Advil PM liquid gels your number one choice.
Comparisons based on OTC nighttime pain relievers. Use as directed.
All right, before and Phil was so rudely interrupted.
I was just talking about my diet. Now that I'm on, I've been sick for now a couple weeks or even longer. I've given up on it. What's keeping me going are my eggs, because I crave eggs, and they're an incredible way to start your day. Doug, you've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yep.
We know that. But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you to stay full longer, keeps you energized throughout the day, because eggs are a great source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents each, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. So from America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Just take a trip around the world without ever leaving the kitchen. Just visit the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, the home of the incredible edible egg.
800-510-8255. We'll dropping a quiz question on you later on in this hour for you to win one of Phil's prize packages. There is this focus in this article of 15 worst health and diet myths on high fructose corn syrup. They present it as a myth. That is, high fructose corn syrup is more fattening than regular sugar. They say they are equally fattening.
Correct.
So we ought to be beware. Last week we were talking about the average American eating 55 gallons. That is a 55-gallon drum of sugar every year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's back to what we were saying about the Popeye's chicken.
Yeah, and also, you know, to the point of high fructose corn syrup, and I am not a fan. Let me start by saying that. However, if you take a look at the science, all sugars are the same, whether it be honey, whether it be cane sugar, beet sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and, you know, a lot of controversy about how high fructose corn syrup metabolizes, whether or not it's addictive. None of that has been proven. My issue with high fructose corn syrup is because it's so much less expensive than real sugar, manufacturers for decades have been putting high fructose corn syrup in just about everything.
And it's ruined.
Whether it's ketchup and so on.
As a result
of that, we've just eaten so much extra sugar. That's the point.
Yeah. The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Beef. Here's another one of these myths, by the way, from the Men's Health article. We're talking, Phil and I, about health and well-being in terms of what you put into your body. He is the supermarket guru, so he's tuned into all the things that you can get. 17,000 items, more or less, in every supermarket. Phil knows all about
it. No, over 50,000.
50,000?
50,000 SKUs in the average supermarket.
Ooh-wee. So he gets across his desk every week hundreds of things that he tests. And one of them, well, I mean, I know you're getting things. These people want you to promote them, but you're honest and tell them if they're no good, the public is going to find out they're no good from your perspective.
Absolutely. You know, we taste test five new products each and every week. We get, as you said, Doug, you know, you've been here, you know, 300-400 products a week.
Yep.
And, you know, not everybody is a hit by any means. And it's just, you know, amazing to me the kind of products that people in today's environment are coming up with.
It's
disgusting.
I was in a service station the other day. A guy who runs his own service station, he's a real mechanic. He fixes cars at a service station. Imagine that. And he said he's getting a lot of pressure from Shell to stop fixing cars and start selling cookie and candy.
And yogurt.
So... one of the myths in this article in Men's Health magazine is that gas station snacks are nutritional nightmares. What do you even know about what people can get in the service station that's different than what they can get in their local supermarket?
No, you can buy healthy foods in service stations, in supermarkets, even in McDonald's. You can buy healthy foods wherever you are. The issue is knowing what is healthy and reading those labels.
All right, I want to know
when
if
I'm driving, I can stop at a gas station and I can get whether it's a banana or some nuts that aren't overprocessed and so on. You just have to read those labels. I mean, David's sunflower seeds, for example, is one of my favorite snacks when I'm on a long drive, and just about every gas station sells those.
All right, what about beef jerky and turkey jerky? I always love looking at the label. I want to get some turkey jerky. Is there anything to them? There are a lot of people who say that that stuff is really bad for you. What do you know about those kinds of products?
Well, excuse me. The bottom line is there are good beef jerkies and bad beef jerkies.
A little beef jerky.
You know, you need to read those ingredients. We just surveyed taste tested a jerky, I'm trying to remember the name of it, a few weeks ago, that was fabulous.
Really?
It was just strips of beef that were marinated, no MSG, no added sodium. They were terrific.
Yeah.
It's all about reading the ingredients.
All right. Here's our quiz question. Normally during the Good Day program, Monday through Friday, I do what I call a 2020 news quiz or trivia quiz. So we'll do that. The 2020 food quiz is as follows. What or how many pigs does the typical American eat in his or her lifetime? How many pigs does the American
is it
eat?
The entire hog that you're talking
well,
about?
Well, I'm talking about what the amount, what you're eating amounts to bits and pieces, right, exactly, pounds of a pig. So what does the typical American eat in terms of number of pigs in his or her lifetime? 800-510-8255. Phil has an extraordinarily good prize package, a lot of things that you will desire. Comes as a result of getting the right answer to the question. A typical American eats how many pigs in his or her lifetime? 800-510-8255. Chef Gerard Viverito. You said just call him Chef Gerard, but I decided I wanted to take a shot at it. Chef, pronounce your last name for us, will you?
Viverito.
See, I was right, Phil.
You
said I wasn't right.
Break into syllables.
Yeah,
it's easy enough.
It is. I mean, you don't have to be a genius. A little Italian helps, but other than that, Viverito. All right, Chef, nice to have you here. You hear Phil and I talking about educating the public. You're specifically interested in the endangered seafood that we are talking often about, and there are lots of reasons for us not having enough seafood, right? You want to go through a couple of them? Are they important to the discussion?
Well, I think, you know, one, we're fishing sometimes the wrong species, but, you know, when you're talking about pounds and how many pounds or how many fish or how many pigs someone's eating, I mean, let's be realistic. How about portion size?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start with that?
Talked about it. My experience on the New Jersey Turnpike last night, going to a restaurant, six or seven in the same locale, and there was a Popeyes in there, and these women had eight pieces of piece, and they weighed about 300 pounds apiece. And, you know, we were just saying exactly what you're just saying. Phil says, my God, you'd have one leg and one breast and you'd be full. What are you doing with eight pieces of this?
Exactly. I mean, what happened to the recommended, you know, 3.5 to 4 ounces of protein per serving? And now it's the 12-ounce strip steak, the 16-ounce filet, 22-ounce porterhouses, or, you know.
What did we say, the size of a deck of cards, Phil? Isn't that the
size of a deck of cards is roughly this piece of a, like, size of fish that you should have.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of. Go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry.
I think what's just so important, and after the break, we'll talk more to Chef Gerard about this. But, you know, seafood for me is less expensive, better tasting, easier to prepare, better for us health-wise, and you look at per capita consumption. I mean, per capita consumption of beef and meats are up around 120 pounds per year. And Chef, when we look at per capita consumption of seafood, what? It's in the teens.
Yeah, well, I think it roughly breaks down to the average American eats 0.5 pound of lamb a year, 0.5 pound of veal a year, 14 pounds of fish a year, 52 pounds of pork a year, 65 pounds of red meat a year, and 72 pounds of chicken a year. So,
what's the matter with us?
So far,
you've got to help me out on this. What's the matter with us?
If only chicken could swim, we'd be all set. Hold on there, Chef. We'll get to the meat, if you'll pardon the pun here, of the discussion. 800-510-8255. How many pigs does the average American eat in his or her lifetime? That's our quiz question.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
As directed.
The Weekend Good Day program, all about food, nutrition, health, your well-being. We mix and match. Dr. Ken spent some time here. Phil Lempert, who's the supermarket guru, is here now. We're talking about diet, what you get in the supermarket, where you buy your food, how to get your food, the healthiest food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what Phil has dedicated his life to. Brought to you in part by the folks who are responsible for the incredible edible egg. The trivia question, which you have 5-6 minutes to answer, then we'll see who's got the right number. The typical American eats how many pigs in his or her lifetime? And this is a generic pig, all right? You got ham and you got sausage and pork loin and leg, whatever it is. I'm not telling you what you eat. I'm just saying that in terms of pork, how many pigs do you eat in your lifetime, or do you think the average American does? 800-510-8255. We're talking to Chef Gerard Viverito. This is silly. It's Viverito. And all you'll do is look at it, pronounce it by its syllabic breakdown, and I'm all set there, Phil. So,
well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Had you been drinking coffee this morning, you'd be fine.
No, I'm drinking some electrolytes, as a matter of fact.
By the way, do you know how many hogs there are in the U.S.?
No.
4 million.
There are.
Uh-huh. You know how much annual ag damage there is from hogs?
Ag damage. How do you describe ag damage?
They don't. But just to the environment with cleaning up after them and everything else, $52 million.
I disagree with that 100%. Pigs are responsible for cleaning up more than they are destructing.
You mean you're disagreeing with the government?
I am
the
sorry.
States?
I'm in shock. Horrors. No. Call the press. Yeah, they're full of baloney. The pig is a very clean animal, cleans up lots of messes. They root out a lot of things in the soil where they may be, unless they're in a feedlot. But they are helpful. They are not hurtful.
And
they are
the most intelligent.
Very smart. Yeah.
And
pretty dangerous if you're around them. If their offspring are around, they're pretty dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. 800-510-8255 for the number of pigs we eat. We're talking to Chef Gerard. And the seafood species that are available, seafood products, we don't eat a lot, even though there's been more emphasis on it, Chef. There is less of it to consume because there are more people maybe outside of America who are eating it more than we are. Is that one of the problems?
Well, I mean, it is. When you look at Spain, they're averaging 100 pounds a person, and Japan's eating 148 pounds a person, but they're also eating a lot less meat than we are. I mean, it's all about balance and what's being promoted. I mean, like, you have the Egg Council, like you're talking about. There's mm-hmm. the Beef Council. There's yep. the Dairy Council.
Pork Council, Lamb Council. Yeah, they're all over.
There's no Fish Council.
No. Why
there's
is that?
No one, well, that's a good unfair. Question. I mean, they believe, I guess, fish are international. So fish is in South America today. It'll be in Central America tomorrow, and it might be in Florida the day after. So who's to
well,
really
and,
claim?
And also, to be honest with you, if you look at the industry, the fish industry, and I've worked very closely with the National Fisheries Institute, which has tried to pull together all these fishermen are a very different personality, much to what the chef is saying. It's in international waters. They don't have the cohesiveness of the hog farmers, of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. They're all doing their own thing. And frankly, you know, they don't want to work together. And also, there's over 500 different species of fish. So, you know, that means a shrimp council. It means a salmon council and so on. It's just a nightmare to try to pull together.
But, you know, out of all, and that's one of the problems with 500, I think it's 597 species that are technically commercially available, we eat the same four day in and day out in this country. The average American in 1 year eats 4 pounds of shrimp. They eat 2.7 pounds of canned tuna. They eat 1.6 pounds of salmon and 1.4 pounds of pollock. And if you show a pollock to most people, they can't even identify it. They don't know what it is.
It's phony crab.
It's phony crab. It is McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. It's yeah. fish sticks. It's but we're stuck on the same things. And then when you think, like, the shrimp, that where the average American is eating 4 pounds of shrimp, for every pound of shrimp caught in America, there's 5 pounds of bycatch that's discarded dead. So every American on average is responsible.
When you say bycatch, what is that?
Unintentional capture of a species.
Yeah.
You know, when they're doing their skim trawling or what have you. So you have 20 pounds per person of bycatch in this country. I mean, think about it. We're just last year there were over 20 million metric tons of bycatch discarded dead and useless back into the sea.
It's not usable as food for other things that survive. Don't the other creatures in the sea eat that stuff?
Well, most creatures in the sea don't actually want to eat something that's dead. You know, they're predators.
We should be learning from
exactly.
the creatures in the sea. Yeah. What I've often wondered that. Maybe we speak to that here a little bit, to Chef Jared. The essence of eating things that are dead. There's no value in eating a dead piece of meat. Is there?
No.
Really?
I'm a big fan in trying to eat more raw and more living foods. You know, it's
There are those who would say eating raw is dangerous. I mean, I have a dairy farm selling raw milk. FDA wants to shut me down because raw anything is dangerous. Why don't they shut down all the sushi bars? Or why don't they shut down any number of places that are selling raw? Raw everywhere.
I think that people like to grasp onto fear.
Yeah, well,
it's easier to grasp onto fear than to actually learn something, I often find.
And in fact, let's talk about that, because, Chef, you're on this campaign to educate people, especially children,
mm-hmm.
about what's sustainable and so on. So tell us a little bit about that program as well.
Well, you know, this is nonprofit Passion Fish that I founded with some friends 10 years ago in California, and we basically founded it when we started noticing all the fish coming into our restaurants were smaller and smaller and getting more expensive and more expensive. We're like, what's going on? This is disproportionate. And we started looking into what was going on and seeing all these new factory trawlers out there and the technology that they're using and doing the research that we can overfish the ocean by 4 times what it can actually produce right now, which is frightening. So it's getting into the schools. We do, we've done programs at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography in California. We do dinners all around the country in April. Every April we try to host them in as many states as possible, elementary schools, high schools, to teach kids that there's more than 3 fish to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more than shrimp, canned tuna, and salmon. You know, and to realize, talking about, they all understand the food chain because they study it in biology when they're younger. You know, start eating down the food chain. Talk about healthier foods and, you know, open their eyes at a younger age before they have preconceived notions. I mean, the average American, I think, hears the word sardine, mackerel, or anchovy, and they run for cover.
Yeah, they don't know what it is. I mean, you eat a regular piece of white fish like haddock or flounder. Those are great fishes. There's a lot of that around, but it's cooking. You're one who, like Phil, very much like Phil, it is the taste. It's how you cook it. You can have something really good that is inexpensive and easy to find, and you won't know that it isn't one of the others. You know, people are not that sophisticated, especially when it comes to fish. Do you think, in general, that you could substitute sole for haddock and people wouldn't know the difference?
Well, I mean, if the way I try to explain fish are they get broken down into three different types of activity levels. You have, like, your ground fish, your cod, your haddock, your flatfish, which are low activity. They're very white-muscled fish, very low in oil, high in moisture, not overwhelmingly high in flavor. Your medium activity, like your bass, you know, they have something going on. Then you have the high activity fish, the constant swimmers. They're, you know, high in myoglobin, high in omega-3 fatty acids. They're the dark flesh fish, the pronounced fish flavors, the oily fish. There's something for everybody. You know, if somebody says, you know, I want the fish protein, but I don't want the high fish flavor, well, you know, go for halibut, go for flounder, go for cod. You know, great sources of selenium and potassium and vitamin B, and just a good protein source, low cholesterol, low sodium. There's a fish out there for everybody. And then you're right, it's how are you cooking it? You know, when I teach people how to cook with fish, I'm always trying to tell them, look, if it grows together, it goes together. Try to cook within your region. Try to cook, you know, the local indigenous ingredients.
There it is. Local borers, the same thing applies to fish as it does to the dairy and to the produce business. Get local fish.
Yeah, I mean, support your local fishermen. Yeah. They're pretty hardworking.
There's a TV
people.
Show there someplace. Support your local fish.
Yes.
Let's see if we can produce that. Chef, thank you for being here. Very instructive. Do we have a website for Passion? It's passionfish.org, right?
Passionfish.org, yes, absolutely.
Check this out. Chef Gerald, thank you very much for being here. 800-510-8255. Isn't it funny how I am with names? I can look at a Polish name and go through it, but simple name like Vivarito or Gerard, hello, you have a mind block for whatever there is, like Phil. I want to call you Dr. Phil all the time.
Well, as long as you don't call me Bob.
That's right, Ralph. Thank you. 800-510-8255. Take a couple of shots at this before we move on and focus on teaching children about the real taste of food when they're young. Wilma is in Geneva, New York. How many pigs do you think you've eaten in your lifetime so far, Wilma?
Well, one-third.
You've eaten one-third of a pig?
Right.
Wow, are you way off? Way, way, way off. Way too low. Thanks for the try, though. Becky in Moundsville, West Virginia, how many pigs do you think you or the average American eats in their lifetime?
About 140.
Too high, Becky. That's way too high. Let's do some addition, multiplication, and division. Dan in Port Charlotte, how many
and
pigs?
And also, but Doug, let's give a hint. You know, yeah. The average hog ranges between 110 and 150 pounds.
Okay. Right, of meat, of usable meat.
Abusable meat.
Yes, right.
Eight pigs.
How many?
Eight.
So eight times 150, that would be 1,200 pounds of pork you eat in a life, or you think the average person does, Dan, right?
Well, yeah, something like that. I was thinking a little heavier pigs, but I think, if you say so.
Taking Phil's number, you're way off, by the way, way too low. But thank you. We'll give this another little bit of a shot, and then I guess I'll have to give you the answer. I don't know that it's that difficult. Take Phil's number of 150 usable pounds of meat. Think about how many times in your life you have a ham or sausage or something that has pork in it.
Even just bacon?
Bacon is there, exactly. Yep. So sometimes people are confused because there are different types of bacon out. Turkey bacon, everybody's flavoring it differently to try to make it more acceptable. By the way, pork is not bad for you. Not like, for whatever the reason, pork, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the understanding is pork is much better for you than beef is.
Well, it's a leaner product. You know, back in the 1970s, the hog producers really got together and they started feeding their hogs a much better feed.
Right.
To make them leaner, to make them more tender and so on. The problem that most people have is they actually overcook their pork.
One of the things that I find most interesting about what people, and I'm going back to my days on the farm as a kid. I remember we used to grow hogs, and we'd go to the restaurants and some of the supermarket stores and collect their garbage and bring it back. And some of the things you would see in the garbage, the most disgusting stuff you can possibly imagine. We'd put in a 55-gallon drum and cook it outside behind the barn and then feed it to the And that's what I was talking about earlier. They'll eat anything. Charlotte doesn't even like that stuff, as you can tell by listening. All right, exactly. Charlotte, calm down. That's good. All right. At any rate, in a moment, we're going to discuss how children need to know and how you can help them learn about the right foods from the beginning of their lives. Educate your children on the right foods, and we'll give you the answer to how many pigs an average American eats in his or her lifetime. 800-510-8255 for Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru on Good Day Weekend.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video which you can watch online for free detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica12.com. That's endofamerica12.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica12.com. That's endofamerica12.com.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
If we don't figure out how many pigs are eaten in the average lifetime, I'll tell you before we're done here. 800-510-8255, Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru. And Amy Sands joins us now from Equity for Annie's, Inc., getting back to the roots of America's food and having children understand what it is that we really ought to be eating and doing it in a way that makes it easy. Because as we've said 100 times here, Phil, if you introduce a child to all the things that are good from the very beginning of his or her life, they're not going to know that the other stuff may taste better depending on, you know, what they hear from their peers.
It doesn't taste better. It just has more sugar, fat, and sodium in it.
Yeah, but if they don't know that, if they're never exposed to it, then they'll think this stuff that we're talking about is good. Exactly. Right, Amy? Isn't that it?
That's exactly right, because real food is delicious, and it's great, and we really think that getting kids involved with cooking and gardening and eating real vegetables and real food right from the start helps shape their taste buds.
All right, let me ask you a question about the new media, because as young people come along, they're exposed to the new media. How much of an effort do we need to have in Facebook and that sort of thing when it comes to educating? I mean, we go to school, yeah, okay, that's one thing, but they're getting more of an education off of the things that they see on their computers than they are at school, right?
I think that school and all of the touch points outside of school are very important. You know, we have a robust Facebook following, and we try to spark a lot of conversations online about how to get kids inspired.
What would be a typical conversation? What kind of conversations do you conduct?
Well, on Facebook or on our new program, rootforkids.com, it's root with a 4, kids.com, we are giving parents tools that they can take back into their kitchens and into their homes and some tips on how to get their kids connected with real food.
Give us one example.
One easy thing is to help get kids involved with cooking. When you're making a salad for dinner, have kids help toss the salad with the salad dressing, or help them choose what vegetables to pick out in the grocery store.
There you go.
You find that kids, You know, even picky eaters are much more interested in trying new vegetables if they have a role in working with food.
Ken's Italian dressing on those carrots really good.
No way.
Stand by. 51 after the hour.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys? 18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
This question. The typical American eats how many pigs in his or her lifetime? Phyllis is in Geneva, New York. What do you think the right number is, Phyllis?
25.
Getting closer. Janine or Jeannie. Is it Jeannie in Eau Claire? Hi, Jeannie.
It's Jeannie, yes.
Hi, Jeannie.
26.
Close enough. The average American eats between 26 and 27 pigs in his or her lifetime. Can you imagine? Now, do you think about it in your own life, Jeannie? How many pigs you might be eating? You eat a lot of pork?
Not a whole lot, but it is a difference between, you know, your fish and your different varieties.
Right. One of the things that is, at least I'm told, is that pigs or the pork, the flesh itself and the body components are very similar to human beings. Have you heard that, Phil?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, but easy to digest.
Yeah, but digestibility is a factor. All right, so what do we have for a Jeannie as a prize package, Phil?
Well, what we'll do is obviously a DVD of Food Sense, a copy of my book, Supermarket Guru Tote Bag, and then we'll look around the office to see what kind of new foods have come in this past week, and we'll fill that whole bag with a whole bunch of new foods and get it out.
New foods for you, Jeannie. Good to hear from you. Hold on just a second.
No pork.
We'll take good care of you. Phil, the supermarket guru, is here. We're having a conversation with Amy Sands, who is from Annie's, and I was being somewhat facetious. I love Annie's products. I am often eating them. And so when I said what I did, though, about Ken's dressing, I'd be a hypocrite.
You were talking about Dr. Ken, who has a good, healthy salad dressing in development.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah, right.
There's a lot of options out there.
Dr. Ken's healthy salad dressing.
Exactly.
All right. So now Annie's has taken it upon themselves to help children understand from the get-go how to learn, especially about veggies. And one of the things that could be done is if we could get the government off of our back and take some seeds, find a little bit of land and plant the seeds and watch things grow. Wouldn't that be something? Do you encourage that and root for kids?
We absolutely do. In fact, that's really the crux of the program. We're hoping to inspire kids and parents everywhere to actually get into the garden this spring and plant their very own food.
You know that the wonderful Food Safety Act that the FDA has pushed through or tried to get in front of us tries to regulate the amount of seed that individuals can buy, where they get it, and how they grow it. You know that, right, Ian? Right, Amy?
I'm not clear on all the specifics, but I know that for home gardeners, as long as they are planting food for themselves, I think that there's still a lot of great options for people planting at home.
Right. Well, there ought to be no government interference. That's a different subject for a different day. So let's move this to school from birth through the first few years. What would you like? What's the ideal world like for the people participating in Root for Kids in terms of exposure, having children understand, and then having it a part, really getting it as a part of the fabric and fiber of their lives?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The program that we've launched really taps into the national conversation right now about how to help build healthier kids. How do we raise healthier kids? So we're trying to give parents the tools so that they can connect kids with better food right from the start. We're also working with a really wonderful organization called the National Farm to School Network, which actually is working to get locally grown fresh foods right into school. So kids are tasting fresh foods at home, they're going to school and tasting fresh foods at school, and are really developing the palate so that they love fresh vegetables and fresh fruits, and then are taking those lessons on to the rest of their life.
Do you know, Phil, how this drives me crazy, listening to the wonderful intentions of these people in this organization and to have the government screw up this stuff? And people don't even realize it. I mean, I am, because I'm a dairy farmer, Amy, this affects me more and I'm closer to it and I understand these things like this bill and how one arm of the government reaches out and supports what you've just declared to be the best intentions, best interests of the people in our country, and the other side of the government wants to shut it down. It's an incredible reality.
Well, but that's why we have to have companies like Annie's pick up the slack and do these kinds of programs.
So you have a contest, right? We only have a few seconds left. What's the contest about, Amy?
Yeah, from now to the end of January, we're inviting schools to sign up at rootforkids.com. The school with the most number of sign-ups by the end of the month is going to win a new school garden or farm-to-school program, their choice from Annie's.
Wow, that's very cool.
Visit by Doug.
Yeah, I'll come. Yeah, I'd love to do that and promote healthier eating and growing of food, et cetera, by people in their individual homes. RootForKids.com is the website. Amy Sands, thank you for joining us from Annie's. Keep up the good work. Phil, you keep up the good work as well. Visit again with Phil during the